Welcome back, everybody. On the line, we should have Mary McCandles. Good morning.
Good morning to you too.
All right, so Mary, you chair the Council of Canadians, and you also are program director at the St. Norbert Arts Centre. So first, I guess let's get to the Canadian Council stuff. The Canadian Council is fronting a long uphill battle against the Compre or CETA.
That's right.
So now you had a chance to speak with Peter Bjornsson, the Minister of Entrepreneurship, Training and Trade. And so now, what were you guys hoping to learn from Bjornsson about CETA?
Well, I suppose really what we were hoping to learn was that the Manitoba government would say, we're not going to be part of CETA. But, you know, that wasn't a real hope. That was just something that we'd like to have happen. Probably what we expected was, even expected is a strong word, was a possibility that they would say they're going to refuse to agree to certain aspects of CETA. It's a very, very detailed agreement that touches on any number of things. And there's a lot of places for provinces to say no. For instance, Manitoba is saying, no, you may not touch Manitoba Hydro. We had hoped that they would really, in terms of procurement, and intellectual property rights, and I can just briefly explain why that is. This is the first international trade agreement that actually affects both provincial and municipal procurement, that is government spending. And government spending is traditionally used to help stimulate local economies and build up and strengthen. But under CETA, with all of that being covered by the agreement, it means that any government spending over $200,000 would have to be open to bidding by European companies. So you wouldn't any longer be able to say, you know, you must create 50 local jobs, or you must always buy your materials locally to produce this product. You can't do anything like that. So it really interferes with the most important use of municipal spending. So that would have been a great thing for them to tell us they're going to do, but that's not something that they're going to do at this point.
Well, is that something that's in the interest of the Manitoba government or the provincial government, that they do not want to participate in CETA, or is it transparent the other way?
Well, the problem is that although provinces may not want to participate or may not be in favor of international trade agreements, depending, of course, on which province and what government's in place, or may have other reasons altogether for not wanting to be part of it, the federal government is essentially going ahead with negotiations.
Right.
And so it's one of those difficult bureaucratic and political minefields, I suppose. So the federal government said, well, if you want to be part of the negotiations, which in itself isn't really true either, but if you want to have your representatives and your negotiators at the table, well, you have to sign a confidentiality agreement so that you don't tell anybody anything about what we're actually doing. So the province wants to be there to what they say is they want to be there to protect our interests and do the best they can for us. It's really not that clear that any provincial government actually has much ability to protect our interests. But they can't really tell us anything about it because of the confidentiality agreement.
Right. So now this confidentiality agreement has been signed, or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Each province had to do that in order to be able to send their own negotiators to the table. And for a long time, Newfoundland didn't, and then they finally did. They just decided that would be, you know, better for them, like the lesser of two evils, to be present at the table. And when I say present at the table, I don't mean that Minister Bjornsson is there talking to European MLAs. It's the negotiators that are sent. So it's business people and bureaucrats who are assigned to go and negotiate on behalf of the politicians who are speaking on behalf of the people. Or, you know, on behalf. Well, you know, they're not saying what I would say if I were there.
Right. So now, other than the provinces and the federal government, or the appointed people by the provinces and the federal government, who attends the negotiations?
It's again, it's just the people who are appointed the negotiators for the European Union and for Canada. And there's nobody else. Like, there's nobody that's allowed to go and just be there to make sure that I, for instance, am represented, or that Council of Canadians, like, we don't have somebody actually there at the negotiating table.
Okay.
So it's very removed from the everyday people. And it's even removed from what you might normally consider the few. It's only the 1%. It's the corporate interests that are primarily represented, just in terms of the kinds of people that are actually doing the negotiating.
Right. Okay. So now the federal government, you know, they always talk about creating Canadian jobs and stimulating the Canadian economy. So now, I heard what you said earlier, but still, shouldn't we? They hold themselves to this trade agreement actually helping them get in that direction.
Well, I would say no, and so would most of, for instance, Council of Canadians and unions for sure, because again, it's not about like reducing tariffs and barriers to trade. It's not about saying, oh, this way, you know, you, Mr. Little guy who makes this wonderful gidget thing down the road, now you can sell lots of your gidgets because you can sell to Europe. That's not what's happening. It's not even in terms of big companies, again, reducing tariffs and those kinds of barriers. It's about reducing government regulations that interfere with a corporation's ability to profit.
Right.
So it's not really why talk a minute about that. It seems like if they're, for instance, environmental policies, that means a corporation might have to spend a bit more money to run a factory in a less polluting way. That's what's under the gun. That's the kinds of things that they are trying to get rid of.
Right. So then, what kinds of companies should we be worried about when it comes to CETA?
Well, it's always the really big multinational corporations, the one with the lots of power and lots of money, and who are actually dealing in international trade, the ones who see the world as a really small place with lots of places to sell your stuff, which is not typical of what makes a local economy strong, which is the baker selling baking to the locals and the candle maker selling candles to the locals. You know?
Right.
And there's actually quite a bit of information showing that buying locally creates more jobs. Buy local week, there was a great graphic I was looking for. It's like if everyone spends $5 this week at your just spending it in local business, that creates, and then that has the numbers of jobs, the numbers of offshoot jobs. It's the tax base, everything. It's fantastic. So that's what really helped us.
I guess this is kind of an open question, but can we draw lines to the Enbridge pipeline and CETA?
Oh, sure, yeah, that's the thing. All of these really ugly things that we fight are closely connected, because, of course, the Enbridge pipeline is taking bitumen from the tar sands, and don't let anyone tell you it's oil sands, just by the way, that's not oil that they are pulling up out of there, that's nasty, sticky bitumen stuff. So it's taking that to travel across the country to put in big tankers and sell to China. So obviously, the fewer trade barriers in the way, as far as corporations think of that, the easier it is to do that. That's just straightforward. But it's also just the fact that it's those very few really big and powerful corporations that essentially want both those things to happen.
Okay. So now, other than public outreach, is there anything that the Council of Canadians is doing or can do to better connect with the federal government on CETA?
Oh, there's been like years of negotiating, asking for meetings, sometimes getting meetings with different representatives, and not just the Council of Canadians. Certainly QP nationally, the national QP organization, has been really, really active in leading the way on that as well. And there's ongoing campaigns, because So Council of Canadians says public outreach to educate the public about what's happening, but public are people who then need to outreach to their own politicians, write to them, call them, visit them, and continually say, we don't want this to happen. Even hardline conservative politicians start to feel a little bit nervous when hundreds of their constituents tell them, we don't want you to do this thing.
Right. Now, to move on a little bit, on July 1st, the St. Norbert Arts Center showed activist art, I guess particularly around the Occupy movement. So could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. It started with an idea, just realizing there's a lot of activists who are also artists who are interested in activism. It would be really nice to draw these two threads together, especially since within our own group there are several of us. So Occupy was certainly a theme of our lives over this past year, and then we put out a formal call, bring us what you have, and went with that, and again a lot of things were Occupy themed. So I guess I could tell you who was there and what sort of work we had.
Sure.
Yeah, there were a number of different people. From our actual core group of Council Canadians, Ken Harrison with three photos from his Occupy Winnipeg collection. He made a point of documenting every day. He had at least one photo that he took to show the progress of the movement. So he made three of those as a centerpiece for this. And then Louise May, she's our treasurer, and she had several pieces from her own years of activist art. And Krishna Labahari, I didn't say it right, I knew I wouldn't. All right, sorry, Krishna, with several of his posters from previous events, just beautiful art posters, and a lot of them around Manitoba's missing and murdered women, and also Palestinian rights. So we just allowed these themes to just emerge, and there seems to be some repeated themes. Louise's, she did an art piece in Ottawa right after 9/11, so that was also about war and peace, and yeah, it was very, very beautiful, actually, very moving to look at the photos of that. Bernard Ferguson with several works from an activist art show he was part of a few years ago, Gutter Pilot. And then Emily Murdoch came out of nowhere. She's a Montreal theater student based in Winnipeg in the summer. And she created an Occupy tent from photocopies of all the articles that were written about Occupy Winnipeg.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really neat. It's a full-size tent. You can crawl through it. She used a reclaimed cardboard and then covered it with, like, cutouts so that you could read photos, covered it with an old piece of a previous tent. And there were actually quite a few other little things. There were a corner of wheat board information, CWB, and the wheat board bear was there as well.
Right. I love CWB.
Yeah. We all do. We all do, except Stephen Harper.
Yes. So when will this be on display until, or was it just July 1st?
No, we always have displays here. We have community Sundays on Sunday from about 11 to 5. 12 to 4 being the most active time. And the display opens on Sunday, and then we take it down Thursday evening because we have a lot of private events here on a weekend. Now, in this particular case, we don't actually have an event over a Folk Fest weekend, so we'll be leaving it up for 2 weeks. So you can come anytime. We have office hours during the day, Sunday, then Monday to Thursday, 11 to 4. And the cafe is also open over the lunch brunch period.
Now, some people might ask, why not Canada Day art opening on July 1st?
And, well, really, it was Canada Day art. There's a Canada that we used to have, or that we maybe think nostalgically we used to have, but it's certainly quite different from the Canada that's happening under Stephen Harper. And we want the kind of Canada that we love to live in. We want that back. We want that happening. So in order to do that, we need to stop Harper. We need to change the systems that we have in place.
Right. And so many people, actually more than one person told me on July 1st that Canada Day should be to celebrate the positive. Do you, how would you respond to somebody who asked, who told you that in the street if you were wearing your Stop Harper t-shirt
Well,
on Canada Day?
I was walking around with somebody wearing a Stop Harper t-shirt on Canada Day, although I didn't have one myself. And it did come up, and I remember many positive things about Canada, and I look around me and I see how incredibly beautiful it is, and there is no question that we are still in a much better position than so many other countries in the world. That doesn't mean that we should say, oh, well, I guess it's still a little bit better off than they are there, so we'll just let it happen. We need to keep reminding people that being okay or being better than some of the less fortunate countries doesn't mean that you're everything you're meant to be and everything that you could be. So that's what I think. It is positive. I'm positively sure that we need to put a stop to what's happening and change these systems.
Right, and what a better day to speak to people when everybody's out
Exactly.
on the street. Right.
You said it.
All right. Well, why could you give listeners a website so if anybody wants to join in on the fight against CETA, that
I
they
sure could.
can?
And thank you for asking because, again, I forgot to say that. So, a really great place for detailed information is actually the Council of Canadians national site, canadians.org/CETA, or, of course, just Google Council of Canadians CETA. And there's a plethora of information. There's campaigns and how to take on a campaign yourself, how to talk to MLAs and MPs, and just lots of information about why it's so important. And then the Winnipeg chapter also has a website, canadianswinnipeg.org. And again, there's quite a bit of information there, especially if you look in our blog, where you'll see our regular reports on what we have done and the actions that we've taken. And there's also some links, for instance, to the postcard, the Keep Manitoba Out of CETA postcard that we have been distributing, getting signed and delivering to the ledge on a regular basis. So that's probably the two best possible resources right off the bat.
All right. And then I guess lastly, where can people find the St. Norbert Arts Center?
And thanks for asking that too. I just love to say our address. Forgive my accent, but it's 100 Rue des Ruines du Monastère, and I just love giving that to taxi drivers. Anyway, so it's at the south end of Pembina, and it's on Monastery Road, is what I call it in English, just past the ruins and off the Trapeze Road. And you can find our website, snac.mb.ca, snac and SNAC for St. Norbert Arts Centre. And call us or visit us or email us anytime to find out more.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
And enjoy the heat.
Oh, well, yeah, let's do that. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye. That's Mary McCandles, who chairs the Winnipeg chapter of the Council of Canadians and program director at St. Norbert Arts Centre. We'll take a break. We'll be back.